She thought of Calcifer pulsing almost white with white eyes, and then of Calcifer staring anxiously as he wobbled on the shovel. He reminded her of something. The whole shape of him did. "Calcifer," she said, "were you ever a falling star?" Calcifer opened one orange eye at her. "Of course," he said. "I can talk about that if you know. The contract allows me to."
"And Howl caught you?" said Sophie.
5 years ago," said Calcifer. "Out on Porthaven Marshes, just after he set up as Jenkin the Sorcerer. He chased me in 7-league boots. I was terrified of him. I was terrified anyway, because when you fall, you know you're going to die. I'd have done anything rather than die. When Howl offered to keep me alive the way humans stay alive, I suggested a contract on the spot. Neither of us knew what we were getting into. I was grateful, and Howl only offered because he was sorry for me."
"Just like Michael," said Sophie.
"What's that?" Michael said, waking up.
"Sophie, I wish we weren't right on the edge of the waste. I didn't know we would be. I don't feel safe."
"Nobody's safe in a wizard's house," Calcifer said, feelingly.
Next morning, the door was set to Black Blob Down, and to Sophie's great annoyance, it would not open at any setting. She wanted to see those flowers, witch or no witch, so she took out her impatience by fetching a bucket of water and scrubbing the chalked signs off the floor. Howl came in while she was doing it.
"Work, work, work," he said, stepping over Sophie as she scrubbed.
He looked a little strange. His suit was still dense black, but he had turned his hair fair again. It looked white against the black. Sophie glanced at him and thought of the curse. Howl may have been thinking of it too. He picked the skull out of the sink and held it in one hand mournfully.
"Alas, poor Yorick," he said. "She heard mermaids, so it follows there is something rotten in the state of Denmark. I've caught an everlasting cold, but luckily I am terribly dishonest. I cling to that."
He coughed pathetically, but his cold was getting better, and it did not sound very convincing. Sophie exchanged looks with the dogman, who was sitting watching her, looking as doleful as Howl.
"You should go back to Letty," she murmured.
"What's the matter?" she said to Howl. "Miss Angoria not going well?"
"Dreadfully," said Howl. "Lily Angorian has a heart like a boiled stone."
He put the skull back in the sink and shouted for Michael.
"Food! Work!" he yelled.
After breakfast, they took everything out of the broom cupboard. Then Michael and Howl knocked a hole in the side wall of it. Dust flew out of the cupboard door and strange thumpings occurred. At last they both shouted for Sophie. Sophie came, meaningly carrying a broom, and there was an archway, where the wall had been, leading to the steps that had always connected the shop and the house. Howl beckoned her to come and look at the shop. It was empty and echoing. Its floor was now tiled in black and white squares like Mrs. Pentstemon's hall, and the shelves, which had once held hats, had a vase of waxed silk roses and a small posy of velvet cowslips on them. Sophie realised she was expected to admire it, so she managed not to say anything.
"I found the flowers in the workshed out at the back," said Howl. "Come and look at the outside."
He opened the door into the street, and the same shop bell tinkled that Sophie had heard all her life. Sophie hobbled out into the empty early morning street. The shop front had been newly painted green and yellow. Curly letters over the window said, "H. Jenkins, Fresh Flowers Daily."
"Changed your mind about common names, haven't you?" said Sophie.
"For reasons of disguise only," said Howl. "I prefer Pendragon."
"And where do the fresh flowers come from?" Sophie asked. "You can't say that and then sell wax roses off hats."
"Wait and see," said Hal, leading the way back into the shop. They went through and out into the yard Sophie had known all her life. It was only half the size now, because Hal's yard from the moving castle took up one side of it. Sophie looked up beyond the brick walls of Hal's yard to her own old house. It looked rather odd, because of the new window in it that belonged to Hal's bedroom, and it made Sophie feel odder still when she realised that Hal's window did not look out onto the things she saw now. She could see the window of her own old bedroom up above the shop. That made her feel odd too, because there did not seem to be any way to get up into it now. As Sophie hobbled after Hal indoors again and up the stairs to the broom cupboard, she realised she was being very gruff. Seeing her own old home this way was giving her fearsome mixed feelings.
"I think it's all very nice," she said.
"Really?" Hal said coldly. His feelings were hurt. He did so like to be appreciated, Sophie thought, sighing, as Hal went to the castle door and turned the knob to purple down. On the other hand, she didn't think she ever praised Hal any more than Calcifer, and she wondered why she should start now. The door opened. Big bushes loaded with flowers drifted gently past and stopped so that Sophie could climb down among them. Between the bushes, lanes of long, bright green grass led in all directions. Hal and Sophie walked down the nearest, and the castle followed them, brushing petals off as it went. The castle, tall and black and misshapen though it was, blowing its peculiar little wisps of smoke from one turret or another, did not look out of place here. Magic had been at work here, Sophie knew it had, and the castle fitted somehow. The air was hot and steamy, and filled with the scent of flowers, thousands of them. Sophie nearly said the smell reminded her of the bathroom after Hal had been in it, but she bit it back. The place was truly marvellous. Between the bushes and their loads of purple, red and white flowers, the wet grass was full of smaller flowers, pink ones with only three petals, giant pansies, wild phlox, lupins of all colours, orange lilies, tall white lilies, irises, and myriad others. There were creepers growing flowers big enough for hats, cornflowers, poppies, and plants with strange shapes and stranger colours of leaves. Though it was not much like Sophie's dream of a garden like Mrs. Fairfax's, she forgot her gruffness and became delighted.
"You see," said Hal. He swung out an arm, and his black sleeve disturbed several hundred blue butterflies feasting on a bush of yellow roses. "We can cut flowers by the armload every morning and sell them in Market Chipping with the dew still on them."
At the end of that green lane, the grass became squashy.
Vast orchids sprouted under the bushes. Hal and Sophie came suddenly to a steaming pool crowded with water lilies. The castle veered off sideways round the pool and drifted down another avenue lined with different flowers.
"If you come out here alone, bring your stick to test the ground with," Hal said. "It's full of springs and bogs, and don't go any further that way." He pointed southeast, where the sun was a fierce white disk in the misty air. "That's the waste over there, very hot and barren, and full of witch."
"Who made these flowers right on the edge of the waste?" Sophie said.
"Wizard Suliman started it a year ago," Hal said, turning toward the castle. "I think his notion was to make the waste flower and abolish the witch that way. He brought hot springs to the surface and got it growing. He was doing very nicely until the witch caught him."
"Mrs. Pentstemon said some other name," Sophie said. "He came from the same place as you, didn't he?"
"More or less," said Hal. "I never met him, though. I came and had another go at the place a few months later. It seemed a good idea. That's how I came to meet the witch. She objected to it."
"Why?"
said Sophie. The castle was waiting for them. "She likes to think of herself as a flower," Hal said, opening the door. a solitary orchid blooming in the waste. Pathetic, really. Sophie took another look at the crowded flowers as she followed Howell inside. There were roses, thousands of them.
Won't the witch know you're here?
I tried to do the thing she'd least expect, Howell said.
And are you trying to find Prince Justin? Sophie asked.
But Howell slithered out of answering by racing through the broom cupboard, shouting for Michael.